Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace. Go in the Holy Spirit's power. Sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to the Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and we've been doing a series here on the book of Acts, and today we're going to be in Acts chapter 2, 41 through 47. We invite you to join us on Sunday mornings. In fact, we're moving our worship time to 9 a.m. starting this coming Sunday, and 9 a.m. we'll be live in person, and we'll be live online with our live online live stream. So you can join us live stream if you're far away. I'm sure you've heard the story about the big, bulky house robber who went into an elderly lady's home to rob her. He broke through the window and startled her awake. She made her way down the stairs and saw the big, bulky robber in her parlor. He had his back to her, and she shouted at the top of her lungs, "Stop! Stop! Stop!" Acts 2:38. Immediately, the robber dropped his bag and raised his arms. She called 911, and in a few minutes, the police were there on the scene. The police saw this big, bulky robber standing with his hands raised, and they saw this little old lady in her house coat. The police officer was confused. How could this little old lady disarm this huge house robber? The officer went up and cuffed the robber and asked him why he didn't run or fight. He said that he heard her say, "Stop, stop, stop," Acts 2:38, and he was sure that the little old lady had an axe and .238 caliber pistols. Wow. Acts 2:38 is a part of the Apostle Peter's famous sermon that began the early church. Peter proclaims in Acts 2:38 these powerful words: "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." What a powerful verse. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. These words cut the people of Jerusalem to their heart. Over 3,000 people were added to the church that day. This is where we pick up our story in the book of Acts. The fledgling 120 disciples multiplied to 3,120 in one day. Talk about changes in a church. Let us listen for God's word for us this week as we seek to grow in the knowledge, fellowship, worship, and prayer. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, as we open your word, may your word be alive and redemptive. May your word shape us and mold us and fashion us. May your word help us to repent and know that our sins are forgiven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Grab your Bible. We're going to look at Acts chapter 2, 42 through 47. So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. All came upon everyone, because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any of them had need. Day after day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all people. And day after day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. A few weeks ago, on the late night news, I saw a brief report of a failed carjacking and a robbery. Now, this is a true story. An elderly lady came out of a store in the evening. As she got into her car, an armed robber climbed into the passenger side. He held a gun to her and demanded that she give him all her money. The little old lady refused and said, "Even if you shoot me, I'll go to heaven." She asked the robber if he knew if he would go to heaven. The robber started to tear up. For over 20 minutes, the little old lady told the robber about God's love for him found in Christ Jesus. When she was all done, the robber apologized and started to get out of the car. The little old lady reached for her purse and gave him all the money that she had in her purse. This 93-year-old lady shared her resurrection response at gunpoint. She is writing chapter 29 in the book of Acts. That's what I've been challenging you as you've been listening to this. Chapter 29 is still being written. But listen, you don't have to be at gunpoint to share how God's love has changed your life. I really believe that is why we are here listening to these programs, worshiping God. We come to share our resurrection responses with one another. We've been studying the birth of the early church. We have heard the promise Jesus gave to the disciples. The Holy Spirit would come and they would be his witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and to the ends of the earth. He read and saw the story. We've read and we've listened to the story as the youth were filled with the Holy Spirit. We have heard Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Receive the Holy Spirit. This morning, or this day, I don't know when you're listening to it, today I would like for us to look at the marks of the early church that are given to us in this passage. Here they are. The early church was devoted to the apostles' teaching, number one. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching. They were learning. They were a learning church. Number two, they were devoted to fellowship, which included the breaking of the bread and sharing what they had in common. They were a worshiping church, with prayer, awe, wonder, and signs. And lastly, they were a joyful, attractive, and growing church through their witness. They were a teaching and learning church that was devoted to fellowship, worship, and witness. The so what question comes really early today in our message. So what? How do we become like the early church? First, we need to be a learning church or a teaching church. What was it that distinguished Israel from every other nation? It wasn't their power. It wasn't their size. It wasn't their wealth. What did Israel have? They had a book. Scrolls, really, with books like Genesis and Psalms and Isaiah and Job. This book so defined them that the Israelites were called people of the book. To help their children learn the book was the greatest task of every parent. Did you hear me? It was the greatest task of every parent to teach the children the book or the Bible. They memorized the book. Josephus was a Jewish historian, and he wrote in one of his anthologies these powerful words, quote, "Time and again we have given practical proof of our reverence for our own scriptures. It is an instinct with every Jew from day of their birth to regard them as the decrees of God, to abide by them, and if need be, cheerfully to die for them. Time and again, the sight has been witness of prisoners enduring torture and death rather than utter a single word against them. What Greek would endure as much for the same cause?" That's what Josephus wrote, a Jewish historian. They had a book. And now this book, with some significant additions, has become our book. Now we are the stewards of the book called the Bible. Some 65 million copies of the Bible are bought or distributed in the U.S. every day. No other book even comes close. How many Bibles do you have in your home? How many Bibles do you have on your electronics? The average home has at least 3 copies. The sad news is that people cheer the Bible, buy the Bible, give the Bible, own the Bible, but we just don't read it. According to George Gallup, 1/3 of those surveyed know who delivered the Sermon on the Mount. 1/3 know that Jesus delivered a Sermon on the Mount. Fewer than half can name the first book of the Bible. 80% of born-again Christians believe the phrase, God helps those who help themselves, is in the Bible. Well, friends, it's not. Ben Franklin is the one who penned that, if you're wondering. What we learn from the early church is that they were a people of the book. If we are to model the early church, the challenge for us is to be the people of a book. If we want to be like the early church, we will want to learn about and teach the Bible. One Sunday, a minister asked the children of the church during a children's message if they knew why the church had a coffee hour. Without hesitating, one of the young boys shouted out, "To wake people up before they have to drive home." That's why we have the coffee hour? Not only did the early church devote itself to the apostles' teaching, they devoted themselves to fellowship. Wow, think of this last year and a half with the pandemic and the isolation and lockdown and everybody being sequestered. No fellowship, wearing masks, we can't even see each other. In his commentary of the book of Acts, John Stott writes, "The word fellowship was born on the day of Pentecost. The Greek word for fellowship is koinonia, which has to do with holding everything in common. The early church had a common fellowship because of the spiritual realities and growth they had experienced together. We are told that they met together, breaking bread and praying. They met daily in the temple and then in each other's homes. They were the original small group ministry." You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by The Seed Christian Fellowship. We're talking about fellowship. That's the second mark of the church, fellowship. The Greek word koinonia, which means common, has another Greek word that is very close to it, koinonikos, which means generous. We are told throughout the scriptures that the early church was a generous, giving church, sharing their goods because they learned their generosity from God. Now, we could stop there and drop the mic, okay? We are to be generous because God is generous. God has given us His Son so that we could have life and life abundantly. So we can give so others can have life and life abundantly. God had been generous with them, and because God had been generous with them, they were determined to be generous with one another. Boy, there's a mark of a church. I think there's a mark of a Christian. The early church learned they could not outgive God. They were fellowshipping, sharing what they had in common, and being generous because God had been generous with them. The truly awe-inspiring and amazing thing is that they shared what they had with glad and sincere hearts. That's what Scripture says. I believe that fellowship in the church is both vertical and horizontal. It's vertical and horizontal. The stronger our vertical relationship with God is, the stronger our horizontal fellowship will be. Make a cross. The stronger we're connected to God, the stronger we can spread our fellowship and sharing with others. Just the other day, I performed a wedding, and it was a beautiful ceremony. When I met with the couples in our premarital counseling, I used a diagram of an equilateral triangle. And if we place God at the top of the triangle and place ourselves one on each corner, the male and the female, husband and wife on each corner, our spouse and our family and our friends, we can put, maybe you're not married, you can just put God at the top, yourself there, and your friends. But the closer you all work to God, going up the equilateral triangle, the closer you will become to each other. The early church moved closer to God and to one another through, big word, koinonia, holding everything in common, and through koinonikos, being generous. As the early church learned together and fellowshiped together, the Lord added to their numbers daily. The early church was a learning and teaching church. The early church was a sharing and generous fellowship that worshiped the Lord with glad and sincere hearts. We are told by our good friend Dr. Luke that they met together daily, broke bread in their homes, The symbolism of breaking bread refers to the Lord's Supper, or communion. During communion, we come to a table in the church, and it's called a common ground at the foot of the cross. We realize our need for a Savior and the wondrous work our Lord and Savior Jesus did for us on the cross. In communion, Christ is spiritually present, and this signifies the unity we have in Christ. The early church was unified in their faith. The early church became a praying church. The early Christians knew that they could not meet life in their own strength, that they did not know how to do that. We are told that they went to God before they went out into the world. Well, that's a good principle. I always tell people, talk to God before you talk to the person about God. I'm going to share something that I do every day, and I'm a pastor. Before I put my hand on the door and go out the door, I go, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world, and I go out into the world. I pray. I'm going to ask you to pray before you go out into the world. They were a praying church. We are told that they went to God before they went out into the world. This week, we celebrate a time of prayer in our nation, and it's time to pray for our nation. What I find most amazing in these passages is that they not only worshiped, prayed, and witnessed, they rejoiced. They were a happy church. Verse 46 and 47 tells us, day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. It comes as no surprise as we look at the early church or the marks of the church. It comes as no surprise that a unified, miraculous, sharing church, well, it's also a joyful church. The Greek word for glad comes from the word rejoice, and the Greek word for sincere comes from simple or smooth or free from rocks. So what Paul is telling us is that the early church was a rejoicing church with hearts that were simple, smooth, and free from rocks of selfishness. What would happen in your life? Right now, I'm going to digress. But what would happen in your life if you took the rocks of bitterness, hurt, betrayals, pain, the rocks you've been holding on to in your heart and take them out of your heart and put them at the foot of the cross so that you would have a simple, smooth, free heart to worship the Lord? There are so many people being held back by their hurt, their pain, their betrayal, their unforgiveness of themselves. And yet we can unload all that at the foot of the cross. So what? So what do these ancient words have to do with each one of us today that you're listening to this message on Acts chapter 2? The truth is everything. As your pastor, every day I pray that God will give me God's heart for each of you and for our church and for the people that listen. I pray for you. I get emails from people all the time. I received a phone call from a man in San Diego the other day asking for prayer, looking for his call as a pastor. We're together no matter that we're separated by distance. I pray that God will show me where and how to show you God's love and how to share God's love with you. It's my heart's desire to see each and every one of us grow in our relationship with God. My biggest joy as a pastor is to see someone's life transformed by the love of God. That's my desire. That's my heart's desire as a pastor, that we all grow in our relationship with God our Father, with Jesus, God's Son, and the Holy Spirit, our guide and teacher. I would love for our church, the Seed Christian Fellowship, to be a transformational church. I would love for the church that meets in your home to be a transformational church. The church that transforms the lives of those that attend them is probably one of the most significant things, because they become a beacon of light to the world. Not just to the world, but to their community or places of work, the schools that we attend, to our families and to our neighbors. The so what for today is, how do we do that? How do we transform our corner of the world? Our church meets in Rancho Cucamonga at 9 a.m. How do we transform? The church meets at the corner. I'll tell you, the church meets at the corner of Baseline and Hellman on the northwest corner. How do we transform that corner of the world? How do we transform our neighborhood? How do we transform our places of work? How do we transform our schools or our families? I truly believe the answer is found in Acts chapter 2:38, the little old lady who had something to say. We become a learning and teaching church. We become known as people of the book. We become a sharing church, a fellowshipping church, fellowshipping with one another. Listen, our church is open. You can come and worship on Sunday mornings. You can join the live stream and chat. You could join our small groups that meet. Our church wants to fellowship so that we can grow together and bless others with our generosity, with glad and sincere hearts. We become a worshiping, praying, witnessing, and rejoicing church. In other words, every day we are called to live our own resurrection response. That's what I've been challenging you with over the past 3 or 4 weeks if you've been listening to the series on Acts. What is your resurrection response? What is your response to Christ rising from the dead? You see, each one of us has a response. And we're going to spend a lot of time talking about that. Every day we are called to write our own write another sentence or two in our concluding chapter of Acts 29. Here's the real so what for today. Am I learning more about the Bible each day? Am I reading and studying God's Word? Am I sharing what God has given me? Is my heart glad and sincere? Am I a worshipful, joyful, praying, witnessing, and rejoicing Christian? And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful. Lord God Almighty, heal our hearts so that we will be sincere and rejoicing. Lord, heal our hearts. I don't know who's listening right now that needs their heart healed. But Lord, you're the healer. Come and heal their heart. Christ, our Redeemer, fill us with holy boldness to be your disciples. Help us to go out into the world. Help us to be like the early church, sharing generously because of the precious gift that you have shared with us. Teach us to be a praying church that puts our hope only in you. Let us hold your word in our lives. And may we be known as people of the book. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Amen. I want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com. Or you can send a message through the church website. TheSeedChristianFellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.